waiting on the Lord takes faith. Trusting in the Lord takes faith. And he's given to all a measure of faith. So our Sunday humor this morning talks about the title, The Smartest People in the World. And it's about a doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and a priest. And they were all going for a Sunday afternoon flight on this very small private plane. Suddenly, the plane developed a little problem. And at the best effort of the pilot, the plane was still going down. The pilot, he grabbed his parachute and yelled to the passengers that they'd better jump too, and then he proceeded to bail out. Now, there was only three parachutes left. The doctor grabbed the one and said, "I'm a doctor. I save lives, so it's very important that I must stay alive." And he jumped out. The lawyer then said, "I'm a lawyer, and lawyers are the smartest people in the world, so I deserve to live." And he grabbed another parachute, and he jumped out. The priest looked at the little boy, and he said, "My son, I've lived a long, full life, and you have a whole life ahead of you. So you take the last parachute and live in peace." The little boy handed the parachute back to the priest and said, "Not to worry. The smartest man in the world just took my backpack." You know, how many of us have watched the Olympics in some form or another or listened to it? Raise your hand. Okay, pretty much everybody. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, give me a little feedback. Out of all the things that you've watched with the Olympics, what really stood out to you as far as, was it track or was it swimming? What was it? So raise your hand, I'll point to you, and you can tell me, and let's hear what you, okay, Mary?
I thought, too, there was one race, I think she was another little girl, and she gave out the glory right there on
National. Woo, all right, I didn't see that. That's awesome. Go ahead. Okay.
And she did not let the United States down. She had to do what she had to do for herself.
Right.
And I just applaud that girl.
That's good. You know, we can minister where we're at. We're doing whatever the talent or gift that God has given to us. We can use that podium, that particular 15 minutes of fame, we can use that to preach the gospel. And it's not so much what we say, it's what we do, and that's what the message is about. But I want to hear some more. Anybody else? Raise your hand. What was one of your favorite things about so far about the Olympics? Come on, I need some feedback here.
Oh, I just like watching the gymnastics.
You like the gymnastics. Okay. I saw this yesterday, and I'm not sure whether it was the Olympics or whether it was just, you know, because of the Olympics they showed this, but the woman was 5 months pregnant, and she was running track. And that it didn't stop her from competing. Whether it was the Olympics, I'm not sure, but it showed her showing her belly at 5 months. And I applaud her for not, letting that get in her way to accomplish what she wants. How about somebody? I heard this yesterday on. Yeah, go ahead, Glenn. Swimming. Okay, you like the swimming? Okay, they're doing diving now. They have competitions for certain techniques when they dive. And don't they have now a swimming style competition where you dance and kind of stuff in the water as a group?
Dance
gymnastics. I heard yesterday that in 2024, they're going to bring in a lot of other different types of competitive things like rock climbing and, you know, stuff like that that you wouldn't think that they would even consider.
Well, this year they have the surfboarding and skateboarding and somewhat else. A lot of people complained that they took the whitewater rafting.
Okay.
They took that competition away and there was another one they took away. They said that these really weren't competitions, but that's what the younger people are doing now.
Yeah, right.
Watch the horses jump and
The horses, okay. What's that? The canoeing, okay. Oh, do you? Okay, I didn't. Is that like an obstacle course then, kind of thing that they?
Some of them were, yeah. They had like the way, you know.
Okay.
Oh, did they have that?
Yeah.
Oh, I went. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that. I thought they took it off.
So.
The girls water polo.
What?
The water polo.
Okay. All right. So there's so many different things that we're seeing in the Olympics that, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, we would not see all of that. You know, they just had their standard competition, type of stuff for the Olympics. And as you can see, every year they add to them. And the reason I asked for your feedback on this is because we know by watching these that it takes dedication and hard work for them to get where they're at. And this isn't so much an Olympic example that I want to give you, but it is an example that I want to share. And it's about an athlete, Tom Brady. He was a National Football League quarterback. This year he received his 17th championship ring. And the reason he got this ring this year is because he was the oldest football player to play in the Super Bowl. That's why he got the ring. So I don't know how many years he played football. I didn't get that information. But the point being that for him to get 17 championship rings, he had to stay dedicated to what he was doing all those years. So in order to do that, you have to what? You have to form habits. They have to become a way of life. So, and I'm sure being a quarterback, it was a mental as much as a physical and emotional, because it puts a strain on all three of those things. You have to train yourself not just physically, but mentally. You have to, have to get yourself in that mind frame because your body's barking at you. You know, your body's, you know, wants to just stop. It's in so much pain if you've been hit as a quarterback like they normally are many, many times through a game, that body says, I've had enough. I'm done being beat on. Let me go. Sit down on the bench. But you got to get a mindset. You've got to have a vision. So one of the things that Brady does is he drinks 20 ounces of water as soon as he wakes every morning. Now, that's just a physical thing. But again, we're talking about not only physical, we're talking mental and we're talking emotional. But the body has to develop healthy habits in order for you to, when you have goals like these, you have to have healthy habits. Just as those that are competing in the Olympics, it takes hard work, dedication. But in order to have hard work and dedication, you have to have what? You have to have habits. You have to develop habits. You grow and achieve when you develop good habits, not just physical, mentally, or emotionally, but spiritually as well. When you have good habits, it builds good character, and good character brings great destiny. Now, the first thing I think of when I say good character, and maybe a lot of you can relate to this, for example, I have a future grandson-in-law that was born on the farm. And you know just by looking at him, and the way he carries himself, that he was born on a farm. And why do I say that? Because he's a gentleman. He's been dating my granddaughter for years. And the other day when they came over, she went to get in her truck. She drove the truck, which, you know, that's fine. That's fine. He went over and he opened the door for her and shut the door as a gentleman. And that's part of how he was raised. It was a way, that habit was formed in him as he was growing up. He likes to plant things. He likes to can foods. He likes to freeze foods. He likes to grow fruit. He likes to do all those kind of healthy things. They cut their own, you know, they have their own cattle. They have their own beef. So the thing is, when you develop habits yourself, those habits can affect the next generation. Now in John 13, it says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what it's saying here is, you don't get God's blessings if you just know what you're supposed to do. You get God's blessings by doing what's right. You know, you can say, well, I know that's the right thing to do, but then not follow through with doing the right thing. And then you wonder why isn't God blessing me? Well, if you're not doing it, you're only saying it. You're not being a doer of the word. You're just being a hearer of the word. How do you expect God to follow through on his part when you're not doing your part? Studies have shown it takes 6 weeks. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It takes 6 weeks of repeating every single day a routine, such as if you want to start exercising or if you want to start a different diet. But it doesn't just pertain to physical things. It pertains to our thought life. Where is our thought life? Are we thinking more negative? Are we thinking more positive? Or when we going, like I said earlier, when we go through circumstances, what's the first thing that comes out of our mouth? Are we saying, I knew that was going to happen? I should have stayed in bed today. That's a negative content. But when you use the word of God and you apply the word of God, yeah, it might feel uncomfortable at first or a little odd at first, but then it ends up being something, and you know, it'll feel awkward and it won't feel like it's a routine. But the more you say it, the more of a routine it becomes, the more of a habit that you get doing that. So studies have shown, like I said, if you do this for six weeks, repeating the same thing, it becomes a habit. But it's not just physical, but it could deal with our behavior, our thought life, and our spiritual walk. It can become a habit. Now, I want to show you something. I've never really done an illustration before here, so I'm going to show you this. So, if you start a habit, let's say the habit is, let's say you want to eat a good breakfast every morning of eggs and, you know, toast and whatever. And then you get to dinner and, you know, you do pretty good. And supper, you just have your salad. You know, notice that? But then you blow it. You blow it at supper time or after supper and you want ice cream like I did last night. I took my granddaughter and we had a shake. It was good. It was really good. But then again, what happens? You're starting all over again, just like this twine. I'm starting all over again. I have to start again. The next day you get up and you decide you want to try again. And you do pretty good for breakfast and you do pretty good for lunch. And then a friend calls and wants to take you out for supper. And what happens? We're starting all over again. And that's the thing that happens. When you start a habit, especially when it becomes a spiritual thing that you want to have a habit to be, Satan is going to come along and he's going to want to oblige you and help you come up with justifications and excuses for not following through on something that you want to accomplish or something that you want to make a habit. And the thing is, the reason why I brought this is because sometimes when we start a habit, let's say it's a spiritual one where we want to spend 10 minutes every morning before we get out of bed, 10 minutes with the Lord, reading a daily devotional. I lay there in bed in the mornings and I just say, Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful day. I don't know what you have in store. And I'll sit there and talk to him. And I might sing a song or I'll read a daily devotional and I'll talk to the Lord about it, like as if he was in the room, because he is. I do that every morning. But that doesn't mean that a lot of times the phone will ring or, you know, one of my kids will text me or the dog will be whining because she wants to go outside. There's always something, you know, or there'll be a barking because she hears a car go down my lane or whatever. There's always, Satan will always try to get a distraction, something to stop you from getting to accomplishing what he wants you to accomplish. And then after you don't accomplish it, he's going to turn around and say, see, you couldn't do that anyway. You couldn't even go 3 days. You couldn't go 2 days. But where I'm going with this today is the fact that when we spiritually want to accomplish things, we know that there's going to be a battle. We know that. We know that there are things that are going to want to get in the way, things that, and there are some emergencies that come along. And God understands those things. But when it comes to Bible studying, that's my downfall as far as, I want to spend more time in the Word than what I do. I read my daily devotionals, and I go through scriptures during the day, but I really want more study time. And a lot of times it's either work or it's kids or grandkids or helping them with, their home. Prayer time, that's not an issue with me. I pray to God all day long over the littlest things, thanking him. And so that has become a habit to me. That's just part of who I am. And, but God, he wants us to do that. He wants us to spend that time with him. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, this will continue until we are mature, just as Christ is, and we will completely like him. Well, what will continue? Because it says here, this will continue. What's it talking about? This will continue. Well, our spiritual growth. We've got to understand, and I'll be honest with you, when I came to the Lord, I thought, okay, I'm here, and I'm going to be spiritually mature here. And I had a time frame. In fact, when I met other spiritual leaders that had been with the Lord 20 years, I thought, oh, I want to be like them. I think it's so awesome to be like them. I couldn't wait to get to where they were at in their spiritual walk, But what I didn't realize, becoming Christ-like is a long, slow process of growth. It's not something that's going to take days or weeks or months or years. It's something that is not instant and it's not automatic. It's a process. It's gradual and it's progressive. The thing about it is, this spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. From the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior till you stand before God, you will be on this journey of growing spiritually every single day, all day long, 7 days a week. We will always be a work in progress. I remember having a thing on my refrigerator, please be patient, God's not finished with me yet. And how true that is. I have a little wooden plaque that's right by my coffee pot, and it says, I will take care of things for you today, signed God. It's a constant reminder to me that he's got it covered. I just got to make sure I give it to him and not take it from him. We have to develop our spiritual habits in our lives and rest in knowing that God does have it covered. Those habits help us grow in wisdom and in strength, in faith and in love. I love this. It says, you determine your habits, and your habits will determine you. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You determine your habits. You decide what kind of habits you're going to work on, to improve upon, to take a hold of and apply to your life. And once you do that, those habits will determine who you are. Again, falls back to my future grandson-in-law that he was raised that way as a farm boy. And, for him to get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning is just part of who he is. And, and he works all day and he works hard physically. He focuses on things and, he gets it done. But he's not only one of those that just takes care of his own stuff. He steps out and he helps other people. He helps on the farm, his dad's farm, a lot. Everyone who competes in the games, here right now going on in the Olympics, They go under strict, strict training. Not just what they eat, not their, just their physical body, but again, their emotions, their mental. They focus on the things that they have to accomplish, where they have to be in order to get where they want to go as far as the Olympics. And the thing is this, think about this. These people that go to the Olympics, they win these medals. Well, I put it this way, it says, they do it to get a crown or a medal that will not last. It's here on earth. But what we do with our Christian walk, with our habits spiritually, when we get a crown, it's for eternity. It will last. You know, the Lord called David a man after his heart. What was it about David that God valued about him? David certainly had his share of mistakes, of sin, and character flaws. What characterized David's life was that he sought the Lord, whether when he was a shepherd, or when he was a fugitive running from Saul, or whether it was when he was a warrior, or whether when he was a king. All of these seasons in his life, he still had the habit of not only physically, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually, he sought the Lord in every season of his life. David longed for the Lord because, guess what? God was his lifeline and he knew it. And that's what we have to realize. We can't look at time fellowshipping with God or time reading the Word or time just being quiet before the Lord. We can't see that as a hindrance, or we can't see that as something that we have to do. We have to see it as a fact that it's our lifeline, that God is our lifeline, our support. Now, David, in order for him to be a shepherd, he had to be disciplined when he was a shepherd at a young age when he was a boy, because it wasn't about David when he was out with those sheep. It wasn't about who David was. It was about the sheep. And he was so loyal to those sheep. Then, not only was he disciplined then, but then when the prophet came and anointed David, David didn't know when he was going to become king, but it was, what, 15 or 20 years later before he finally realized that this is possibly going to come to pass. But he had to hang on to the promise. But how could he hang on to the promise if he didn't have the habits? If he didn't have that lifeline, the habit of praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, trusting in the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. That's a biggie, waiting upon God, who says, I'm never late, I'm always on time. I'm never early, I'm never late, I'm always on time. So it took discipline, strength, and courage for David to follow through on God's promise. It took all of these things. And again, David shows us in Psalms, psalm after psalm, he lays it out time and time again, how he goes before God. And he goes, God, look, this is what I'm dealing with. God, this is how I'm feeling right now. God, where are you? God, this is hopeless. God, he's always pouring out his heart. He's always telling God, this is where I'm at right now. He's being upfront. He's being honest. He's just pouring out his heart. So for us, through times when we're going through things, there's three things. God's word, your time with other people, and the way you face circumstances that come along. These things that I just shared with you are things that help build your and develop your character. God's word, your time with other people, and your circumstances. Now bear with me. God's word, first, provides the truth that we need. The truth that we need so that we can grow spiritually. God's people are the ones that provide the support that we need when we're growing spiritually. And then circumstances, now get this one. Circumstances provides the environment. Circumstances provide the environment to practice being Christ-like. So when we say, God, why are you making me go through this? This is why. It's building, it's an environment to build your character, to help you get into the habit of falling back on God's word and falling back on the people of God to help support you and falling back on God, trusting God and believing in God and waiting on God just like David did. So these three things, God's word, God's people, and the circumstances, again, that provide the environment to practice being Christ-like. If you study and apply God's word and connect regularly with other believers and learn to trust God in different circumstances, you will become more Christ-like. You know, some think, well, I do better studying when I'm by myself. I like to be isolated. But spiritual maturity is not a solitary individual pursuit. We can't grow in Christ-likeness in isolation. And a good example of that is, I read a story a couple of weeks ago about monks that would go to different places and they would be left alone, and that's what they did, was study the word, study the word, study the word. But then when they got out into the world and they were with other people, they couldn't cope because they were so adjusted to being by themselves that being around other people, they had an adjustment. They had to make adjustments. So it was a battle in itself that they had to learn new habits, new things to be with other people. So the being isolated to study the word when actually you're studying the word and taking the word and putting it into practice when you're around other people that are going through circumstances. You can't grow in Christ-likeness in isolation. You must be around other people and interact with them. You need to be a part of a church body. Why? Because spiritual maturity is all about learning to love like Jesus. Jesus didn't isolate himself. He did at times when he went to the Father, but he didn't do it. I mean, he might have did it all night long, probably. But he was around teaching his disciples and ministering to people all the time. So we have to do as Jesus did. You can't practice being like Jesus without being in a relationship with other people. Being a part of the body of Christ, we encourage each other, we support each other, we help each other, we pray for each other. And we all have different ministry gifts, and when we put these gifts together, we can accomplish and do great things for the Lord. Now, I'm going to share a short story. I got a little time here. I just read this the other day, and it talked about this family from a different country, and there must have been an upheaval in the government, and the father of this family had to escape. I don't know if he was a general or what he was, but he had to leave his family behind, which there was no income then. Well, one of the children of this family had an illness. And because there was no income, there was no way they could get the medication for this child. Now, this Sam, who was one of the children, he was the brother to one of the little boy that was sick, Sam was trying to figure out a way to come up with this medicine for his little brother. And in the process, ran across somebody who was in a ministry. And the Sam expresses the problem that the family has. Now, that individual that was in the ministry could have done what it talks about it in James, how you can be a doer of the word or just be a hearer only. And he was telling the other people that were following him and teaching them that don't tell people about be well and eat well and whatever when you know that they need food and you can make it possible and make it available, but you walk away and you just give them the word and you walk away and do nothing else. Well, that's what Sam was saying to this Christian man. Are you going to just give me the word and walk away? And he goes, oh no. He says, I'm going to help you. I will get this medicine for your brother. And he goes and gets the medicine. And during that time, a relationship develops between this man who was in ministry and Sam. And they end up bonding. And as the child grows, he ends up becoming a pastor. But it was because of the faithfulness of that one particular man. He knew that you can say all you want, but if you don't act upon what you're preaching, what good is it? He had a habit. That was his habit. It was part of who he was. It was part of his character. And then as I was coming this morning, I said, Lord, I need a story example. And he goes, you got one right in front of your face. You guys. You. The years that you have spent in this community, keeping these doors open, no matter what it looked like in here, you never gave up. You never gave up. And you'll never give up. He was right. The Lord was definitely right. You've been faithful to the call that he's put before you in this community. But not to just this community, because this affects your family. And some of you have your families that come here, maybe not all the time, occasionally, but they do come. Some see this, even though they're not here today, they see it as a lighthouse. You have made this ministry a part of your life. And because of that, it's developed a character in you that when people look at you, when people see you, they can depend on you. They can believe in you. They can feel comfortable around you. They find hope in you. They see a joy in you. They see confidence in you. They see the light in the darkness. You are the story today. You are the one that God uses, but it's because you've let him in. You've let him lead you and guide you, minister to you. You've allowed him to say, you say to him, I trust you. I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to wait upon you. You're doing that. That's part of who you are. That's part of what this ministry is. But it takes your hands and your feet to make this ministry what it is today. God doesn't look at numbers. He looks at souls. He looks at dedication. And that's what you are. And what he has told me to tell you today is, well done, my good and faithful servants. Well done. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, as we grow every single day spiritually, we know it's a gradual and progressive and yet a lifetime journey. And we thank you that you go before us and that you prepare a way. So, Father, we're not going to look at numbers. We're going to look to you. Because, Father, as you have said before, we're here to plant the seed. We're here to water the seed. But you alone will give the increase. But, Father, we thank you that you see our hearts. Our hearts and our desire, Father, is to be pleasing unto you and to do your will. And because of that, you built within us such a character of that of your precious Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are so humbled by that. We are so humbled by your love and your mercy and your grace. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.